Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we're talking about Princess Mononoke. But before all that, we were talking about favorite drinks, talking about just having a general good old time and having our stream drop, come back, and you know, some other problems and issues and things like that. You know, nothing too big, just my dog's killing my internet, you know, things like that. Nothing too extravagant. But if you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content, or you can always join us live when we're streaming. Usually we are streaming live on twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast. And if you want to help support us through other means, we do have some affiliate links for you in the show notes that we always have there for you, or you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com and purchase yourself some swanky swag there. It is very much appreciated if you choose to do that. We also do have a donation link on our Twitch channel where you can click on and donate to us, or you could just donate to us through the Patreon feed as well. You don't have to do anything beyond that. And as of course, you can also feel free to leave us a review or comments. We will read it, as we actually did before the first stream died today, talking about some of the feedback that we got from Miku on a couple of the most recent episodes that we've done. And now on to the me and Brotatoes. Princess Mononoke came out in July 1997. Producer for it is Nippon Television and Dentsu. The studio for it is Studio Ghibli. And the movie ran for 2 hours, 15 minutes, just over 2 hours. It is a Miyazaki film in and of itself, too. So if you are wondering if this is a Miyazaki Studio Ghibli movie, it is. Ugh. Now, initial gut reaction real quick from you, Rick.
As expected. Straight up, wonderful.
Okay, good.
I can keep going, but I figure we'll have a little bit more time to say it.
My initial
gut reaction was, this is a Ghibli. It's what I expect from Ghibli.
True.
So, what I've come to expect. Excellence. In almost every aspect.
Exactly. So it starts off kind of relatively in a small little village when a demon boar, I guess you could call it, attacks this village. And so the prince of this village, or at least they say he's the prince of the village, Ashitaka, he basically puts his life on the line to try and protect and save the village from this demon boar that is attacking and destroying everything in its wake. And he ends up getting cursed on his arm from the beast. Now, it grants him basically insane strength, but at the cost of siphoning his life away, and also kind of puts an anger curse on him at the same time. So the curse has a mind of its own of wanting to destroy or kill humans at the exact same time. Since that is the primary source or anger from the demons. And so what he does is, as a result of this, he's banished from the village and he travels westward to try and find a cure. I don't know. Well, let me rephrase it. It's not that he's banished. He travels west. I'm assuming he's banished. He's traveling west to try and find a cure for it. And then he runs across this town of Iron or Iron Town. And then he's, as a result of him being at the town, he's kind of embroiled in a conflict between the forest and the spirits of the forest and the forest gods, so to speak, as well as with the people who are trying to destroy the forest and mine the mountain for iron.
Now, my while I don't disagree with that idea, it's you probably basically read it from the thing. Was it the fact that they were taking it from the mountain that pissed everybody off, or the fact that they destroyed the forest?
Well, I said that they were destroying the forest to get to the iron. So it's not that they're mad that they're taking the iron. They're mad that the forest is being destroyed.
Okay. So I was just trying to, I guess,
trying to not listen like always. What year did I say this hurtful. Came out again? You've openly admitted it several times that you do not listen to me. So,
well, no, I try to, I take in what you say. It gestates and then it populates.
Yeah,
it's like if you consume food, the nutrients eventually come forward. Now you were correct in this, in saying that the hatred that the beast, that the boar, if you will, boar god, was it a boar god or?
It's not one of the boar gods, or he wasn't a boar god, but he was one of the boars, warriors, or something like that.
Okay. The white one was the god, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's where it confused me then, because I thought it was a boar god, and the white one had to like take over the position again, kind of thing, because the old one was blind and sick and.
Well, maybe. And just, I mean, like, maybe it could. That could have been it. That could have been. I mean, like, I'm not saying that that wasn't it. I'm just saying, like, that was my own interpretation of it.
Okay. Well, when he was cursed and he touched the curse, now was it? Do you think it was intentional, or was it just his natural ability that whenever he used a bow and arrow in his own, like, stone weapons, I think is what they called them, he'd basically decapitate and mutilate anything and everything the bow touched. My question was, is it his own power, or is it the curse power, because he's fighting against humans? And I notice whenever he's fighting against humans, he gets a massive power boost.
It's the power of the demon.
But specifically against human, or just overall?
I'm going to say specifically overall. And the reason why I say overall is because, so do you remember the scene when Princess Monaco goes and, he basically knocks her out and he carries her out?
Is it Monaco or Mononoke?
Mononoke.
Okay. Yes, I remember that.
I know it's Mononoke, but I always end up saying Monaco. I know it's Mononoke. All right, I do.
I was going to say, you were confusing me for a second.
Yeah. So when he knocked out Princess Mononoke and was carrying her out, he's able to push open the gate that supposedly takes 10 men to be able to open. 10 men to lift this gate, and I am injured severely and poisoned and dying. And I will push this open. So blown, that's why I say
back on accident.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's why I'm saying that. However, Ghibli is usually really, really good about a lot of the stuff that they do. Right. They do very, very well with their artwork and the realism having to do with it and the overall message that they usually try to put out. However, I gotta say, the one thing where I kind of looked at it and was like, shenanigans right off the bat was when Ashitaka was riding and he sees like, basically a merchant being attacked by some bandits. Like, and he's holding the bow with his right arm. He's drawing the string with his left, right? His right arm gets a massive power boost. Has nothing to do with the power of the arrow.
I can see where you'd come up with that, and I kind of agree with you on that particular point, but is it possible that he was just pulling the... No, I can't even follow through with my thought because I can't agree with it. I was going to be like, well, maybe he just pulls the bow back even farther, and when he fires it off, it's good to go. But, I mean, he's decapitating people. He's... anything this bow essentially fires whenever it's his own homemade stone arrows, the dude lost both arms.
Yeah, he did.
Into a tree, like, and they were cut clean, like, with a knife.
Hardcore.
So, I'm gonna have to say, and I don't know if this agrees with you or not, because it's a bit convoluted, I think he gets a massive attack boost on whatever he's using, attack specifically boost.
That makes no sense. This isn't a game. It's not like he gets like, oh, power boost, arrow damage plus 5,000.
He's carrying hatred for human.
That has no bearing on the bow. Almost
mythical being.
Has no bearing on the wooden bow.
I'm going to guess that the attack transfers to the connection. And that's why it seems so much more damaging, if you will. Because remember, you know, when he faces the woman.
Why not?
I was going to say, that's the best I got for it. But if you remember, whenever he finds somebody who, like a human, who he's like, this person is bad, his arm goes crazy.
Well, yeah, but it tried to pull out the sword. It's not like it did a Kamehameha and shot out an energy blast on its own.
I'm not going to lie, that'd have been kind of cool.
He's just like, oh, my arm is angry, and I use my own strength to restrain my arm with my left.
You say that, but the definition in that muscle, in that arm, when he was pulling back that string, he got all muscly for a hot second.
Yeah, but, you know, same thing with his right arm when it was, you know, tweaking out like no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Same thing. So
who knows? Maybe he learns how to control it to later on. But the more he uses the power, the more it corrupts him. So it's one of those corrupting powers. With great strength becomes great, or with great strength comes great
responsibility. Sacrifice. Great strength, great responsibility. I know you were going there. It's okay. It. Look, Uncle Ben, it's all right.
Community guidelines track.
Uncle Ben, it's okay. Uh-huh. We know what you were going to do. We know what you were
Uncle
doing.
Rick here. Uncle Rick.
All right. Or Aunt May. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. So.
I don't think she said that.
She did.
No, she did say. The newest one.
She did. That she did. So, as usual, predominantly usual. Honestly, though, the story with every Miyazaki film, that especially when it's an original, and this was an original, they always have a very strong lean or connection with anti-war, anti-fighting in general, environmentalist, you know, when you start desecrating the land, it starts fighting back in a very, you know, thing or whatever. And spirits, it's always usually a very predominant theme for his movies.
I like the fact that he doesn't blame anybody.
I mean,
he's
blaming humans in this one. So you can't really say he doesn't blame anybody. He's blaming humans. For being
easy though,
yeah. It's is
he blaming greed?
I mean, humans is specifically. Greed is dominantly a human trait.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. But here they're like, oh, the emperor wants immortality, so I have to take the head, which is really important here. And then, oh, we need more iron to fight, so that we can get more resources. It's all about greed rather than a particular tribe of people that are singled out as being bad.
Yeah. It's humans are bad, greedy creatures. They don't care about the land. They don't care what happens to the land. Mm. They don't care about what happens to the forest spirits or anything like that. They just care about themselves.
Okay, I can see where you're going for with that then. Yeah, okay. So I retract my last statement. He actually is blaming somebody here. Well,
I mean, but it's a good story, right? In general, that yeah. It's like if you take care of the land, you know, you have this beautiful, lush, green, vibrant area that's full of life, full of wonder, and you have all these wonderful, you know, moments to go along with it. And then where you don't have it, it just looks very desolate, very dank, just disastrous even. You know, it's not very inviting. It's not very pleasing to the eye. It's just kind of dirty. And I say this because when you look at the city and you look at the town where the Iron Town, where they're at, you look at it and you're like, man, you know, that certainly doesn't look as good as a forest where it's like green and lush and vibrant, full of life and calming and inviting. And for there, it's just like, we have walls. We will murder you if you try to invade type of feeling, you know?
Yeah, I. And then, so I was a little bit conflicted, to be perfectly honest, about who the actual bad person was, because you can't, just like in life, you can't have 100% bad person be in charge. I mean, you could, but they wouldn't be there very long and they wouldn't be able to amass a following. Whereas this particular leader would go around and rescue people, essentially. And that's the way that she was seen. She was seen as a good person who rescues lepers, gives them purpose. She rescues, other people.
You say that. You say that. So I agree with what you say on the part of her not being really a bad person. And she goes around amassing, right? And I believe she believes that to her core, right? To a certain degree, she believes that. However, you can be bad and amass a giant following and not have great intentions.
Yeah. My mind goes to the not a good place in our own history.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure for them, yeah, it was a very good, they were great intentions for them.
Yeah.
For the rest of the world and for the population that they almost completely annihilated. Not so much. So,
You've proven your point. In a Miyazaki film, I don't think.
There you go. Let's go with that. In a Ghibli film, not so much. You don't have to worry about that. Real life sucks most of the time when it comes to that. So, but honestly, I mean, like, that's one of the things about this, right? That's one of the things about this movie is there's a lot. The story is very intricate with it being an original and not having anything necessarily kind of fall back on. The story is very intricate. The artwork for it is beautiful, like always in all Miyazaki films.
Oh, yeah.
It's really well done. And then the overarching story for it and the lessons that are in it are always very well done. They're always positive, and it's not positive in the sense that, oh, this is like a very overwhelming positive experience, but it's a timeless experience and it's impactful. And to kind of, you know, cement onto that or not cement it, but to kind of lean in on that, right? Like as the story progresses on they're finally pushing forward for like eradicating the gods of the forest and everything. The boars end up getting massacred and murdered, and it's by Iron Town. It's by the hunters, and they're wanting to kill the head of the forest spirit god, and because its head supposedly grants immortality or whatever, and what they end up doing is, I mean, like how they are able to trick the old boar, the blind boar, is they are running around with freshly skinned carcasses of the other boars, of the boar warriors.
Covered in their own blood to hide their scent. It was disgusting and
it was
way more effective than it should have been.
Yeah. And disturbingly so. And my wife and I, we were watching this and she was crying. She was crying over how the animals were being treated, how what the humans had done and everything like that. And she's like, why are they like that? And it's sad to say, but that's just human nature. I mean, we're not great people. Humans suck.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Greed is a
powerful motivator.
Yeah. I was gonna say it's a massively powerful motivator. And in here, it is the big bad, if you will. And what I really liked that about this particular movie, I mean, in most Ghibli films, I mean, just come on, but the duality of give and take, the balance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That the spirit of the forest offers, it takes life away and it gives life equally, almost indiscriminately.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to find the proper words to describe it. But it doesn't have its own moral code other than to balance the scales. If you want something, offer something. And if you offer something, or if you want something, I'm going to take something. I can give you peace, but I'm going to take your life, and I'm going to take this life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the head, possibly, very possibly, offered immortality. It also maybe couldn't have.
Yeah.
Because at the end, when the head was finally detached from the body went nuts and essentially ate everything in an effort to get back the head, of course.
Well, it's not that it ate everything. It was killing everything, destroying it. Because it's like all it knew at that point was death.
I didn't really see it that way, but yeah, I could see that. I jokingly told my wife, look, it's a kaiju. It's the world's first kaiju. Where's Gojira at?
Right.
But yeah, it definitely wasn't anything. It wasn't anything I'd want any part of. I just think remembering it. And yes, these are characters written to play a particular role, if you will. But the sheer bravery it would have taken to hold up the head and be like, we humans give this back. Don't kill us and hope that they don't die.
Well, I don't think it was necessarily that they hoped they didn't die. It's that they were trying to, like, save everyone else. Like, they probably fully expected to die.
So essentially, it was sacrifice. The moral of the story is do the right thing.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, seems like a lot of Miyazaki films, or Ghibli films.
Yeah.
Like, they promote balance and the overall goodness of people.
That can be done,
I was gonna say, the goodness should prevail.
Yes.
As I recently heard from one of my friends over here, people want to be good if you give them the opportunity. Whether that's true or not, I can't really say, because I've seen some stuff. But I'd like to believe in genuine goodness, you know?
Right.
Do unto others as you would do unto yourself. Yep. But not everyone is taught that. Not everyone lives that. And it's very prominent in this movie. Like, the monk that was voiced by... Did you watch the sub or the dub?
I've seen it both ways.
Okay, so I haven't. I watched the dub today because it was free. it was free. But I bought the sub thinking I wouldn't be able to, but the dub was free on Amazon. It wasn't Billy Bob Thornton. Who was it? It was Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who played the monk. And the whole driving factor for that monk was greed. Me above everybody. And he turned out to be the bad guy. Not really the bad guy, but a bad actor. Focusing on what I can gain out of life.
Yeah.
And in the end, he failed, which I found to be a very beautiful message in here. Like the old adage of, you know, the evil never prosper.
Or it's gimme, nice gimme thought. Never gets.
Hmm?
Or gimme, gimme never gets.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. I've never heard that. That's a good one. Gimme, gimme never gets.
Yeah, I grew up with that. It's like, gimme, gimme never gets. It's like, oh, well, that's true. 100%.
Huh. It's the little things we learn as we grow up that kind of stick with us, huh?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. Gimme, gimme never gets.
As you were saying.
Yeah, sorry. No, I'm that's so
That is so like straight to the point and right on.
It's profound to the point. Like it's something I need to lock in my brain for later. Cause that's,
you're welcome for that.
Dang, by the way, life lessons, life lessons as witnessed by Goose,
right?
Not CJ. Yeah. So what ends up happening is he ends up losing it all. And the princess, and is he still a prince? I don't think he's a prince. He gave that up, right?
I believe so.
The main character.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gave up being a prince. They are willing to sacrifice everything for the betterment of everybody, and their reward, I don't know if it was eternal life. We won't ever really know that, because is there a second one? I don't think there's a second one. I didn't look it up. So
no, this is it. Just this. No sequel.
Standalone movie.
Basically. Okay, so basically, I mean, like, in how it ends is kind of ambiguous, but at the same time, it's like they both kind of go their own way. He's going on to spoiler. He goes on to Iron Town, and he's like, I'm going to help them build a better Iron Town, build a better town, basically impart his ideologies and thought processes onto them, is what I'm assuming is going to end up happening. And then you have a Son, who's going to go back and, or not go back, but live in the forest and help the forest creatures thrive and grow and tend to them and take care of them. And I mean, like,
I think that they're made for each other.
They are,
in the sense of one was raised by the wilderness and one was raised by people. And I think that the harmony that they are able to bring together is the point of the story. I think that is the true, I don't know the right word. It's not the true purpose, but it's the true union that everyone was looking for.
Yeah, I understand that completely, where it's the true union of them, and they want to kind of, you know, basically, honestly, I don't have too much more I could really say on that. I really don't. Like, the anime was just beautifully done. They rounded it off nicely.
Yeah, it was a very round, purposeful movie. It was wonderfully done. Highly recommended. Fantastic beginning. It gets you, sticks with you, and it's beautiful. Personally,
yeah. Oh yeah.
It lets you know that there's a real danger, and it lets you know who the potential good guys are. Lets you know who potential bad guys are. But even so, in the beginning, when they're fighting this demon thing that is just anything it passes on is death and blood and
right
and just nastiness.
Yes, yes.
Even when it dies,
yes.
The wise woman walks up and says, "We humbly hope that you can pass on with dignity and respect, and we will give you every burial rite you deserve."
But that doesn't matter to the demon. And, you know, again, it progresses forward all the way through that the animals don't necessarily care about the humans in any fashion at all. They are just so angry and bitter. But the story in general was just beautifully done. How we rounded it out, you know, and the story was very well done. And, you know, there's a lot that goes on, honestly, in this movie for 2 hours of pure animation and story. It's very well done, very told. It's a very well articulated story, beautifully animated. The music, when it needs to be there, is beautifully done. Honestly, there's so much more that we could talk about. So much more that we could talk about. And we could talk about this for hours.
We could hyper focus, but I don't think it'd be beneficial here.
Exactly. And honestly, I feel like this is, if you haven't seen this one, you should go back and watch it yourself. It is that good of a movie.
The animation definitely stands.
Yeah, the animation 100% stands. The moral of it is solid. You can't go wrong with it. And it's like all the other Miyazaki films, it's a timeless movie. It's a timeless story.
Yeah, the man doesn't miss. I don't get it.
So
I don't get it. When he attaches his name, I already know what to expect. So
yep. So On a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
I don't want to give it a 10. I genuinely don't, but I can't find anything I disliked about it. Yeah, it's a 10. I cannot find a single thing I disliked about it. Maybe you could say something and change my mind, but it's
okay.
Yeah, no 10. That, okay. I don't think he could have done any better with the story he had. I think it was executed really, really well. The animation style and quality are above average all the way through. And every character had their own identity, which made it feel like a much bigger story than it was.
Right.
The pacing, I couldn't beat it. Like it was done well. It was above well, actually. Like it was, whoever directed it, Miyazaki, obviously, had not only direction, but purpose. From beginning to end,
he always has direction and purpose for everything that he does.
There wasn't a single missed. There wasn't a single frame on here that I think you could take away and be better for it.
Okay. For me, I'm going with a 9. The reason why I'm going with a 9 is because I felt like the ending was just left to be desired, right? And the character, overall character development, especially when it came to our main female baddie, she spent her whole time, I'm going around, I'm trying to save him, or I'm only care about these, I only care about the women, I only care about these or this or that or anything like that. And then it comes right down to it. She's like, yeah, whatever. Kind of, I don't really care about them. And then she's remorseful about what she did. And she's like, well, I actually do care about you. So I felt like that wishy-washy, like, personality where she's like committed, but not really committed. She cares, but she doesn't really care. I felt left to be desired for me personally.
Do you mind if I kind of try to defend that a little bit?
You could, but you're not going to change my mind.
That's okay. I feel like the progression you're referring to fits for her character, because she was working with the monk who, as we all have already seen, has no qualms about killing and being underhanded. So I feel like
the progression I'm talking about isn't just in relation to that. It was all the way through, because she really, how her attitude was and everything like that, it was like that through the whole thing. She really didn't care, but she did care. She was a tsundere. I understand she was trying to be a tsundere, but it just didn't come off right. It's like she cared, but she didn't care. She cared about the people over here, but she didn't care about that. She cared about the people over there, but she didn't care about that. And that's what I didn't like. It's I understand like what you were trying to go for. I understand. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Well, how this guy was, he rubbed off on her. Well, they've had years of dealings with each other, and you could tell that they've had years of dealings with each other. And if it was that the case, it wouldn't be a overnight one way, and the next day this way, next night another way, the next day a different way.
No, I agree with that. I don't think she rubbed off, or he rubbed off on her. I think it was, if she backed out of the agreement they had, he would have killed her, which would have essentially stopped whatever she could have done for the people back home.
No, she didn't even.
I thought it was.
Even if that were the case, she could have continued on for it and to help him out or whatever it is, and sent some people back. But when it was like, oh, all these people are your entire town, you're everyone there, they're being killed, or they're not going to last long. Her response was, oh, well, I did everything I could for them anyway, so it doesn't matter. It's like you emptied out the entire village of their defenses, and you're like, whatever.
I see where you're coming from, but the reason why I disagree with that, particularly, she left.
I know why she left.
The best weapons and the best people.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, if she really truly cared, right, she wouldn't have emptied them out. All right. She wouldn't have emptied everything out just to go do this. And then also hearing about all these problems, she wouldn't have been like, whatever. Well, it's on them if they don't survive. If she truly cared, she would have sent back reinforcements. She would have sent back people back to go and help them. That could genuinely help. She didn't. That's what I'm saying. She puts on the air of I care. They tried writing it so that way it looked like she cared, But in the end, they flipped her and made it. It's like, oh, well, I don't really care.
And I just, the motivation, I don't see it. Like, I want to. Maybe I'm just
well, that's because she had no motivation, and that's why. She had no motivation. She was just kind of like, her general motivation was just kind of like, eh, for me.
That's fair. Doesn't quite change my mind on it.
Oh, though, I'm not trying to change your mind. Yeah. It's just you're like not that. Letting me have my opinion. You're like, well, let me defend this. It's like, no, you're not going to defend it because this is how it is. It's like, but you know, it's like, no, like legitimately, this is how I view it. And you're like, but still, it's Rick.
But
dead. Move on. You ain't changing my mind. In fact, you try to defend it one more time, I'll drop my score to a 5.
Ooh, lying to yourself, hurtful.
To drive my point as to how I feel, I will drop down to a 1 if I have to get my point across. Ooh. All right. So does that answer your question about how I feel?
I mean,
does that answer your question?
I mean,
if you say anything other than yes, I will immediately drop it to a 4.
I don't think it does.
4. Okay. So 4 for me, 10 for you. Next week's choice is going to be Castle in the Sky. It's another Miyazaki film. It's going to be a Studio Ghibli, and it's something that I am looking forward to watching. It is another great, great movie. Honestly, I don't have any very much more to say. Do you, Rick?
I mean, I got 4 other things.
And my Rick is throwing out shade. So that's a 1 for me, a 10 for Rick, and
yeah.
There you go. Okay. Think carefully about your words, sir. Think carefully about your words.
I look forward to the next excellent Ghibli film.
There you go. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this week's choice. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did too much justice, not enough justice, or anything like that, feel free to let us know. Reach out to us. You can go to featuredanimepodcast.com. All our information, contact information, links, and everything like that's available to you on there. If you feel like we got something right or wrong, please feel free to let us know. We would be happy to hear from you on that. If you want to help support us and help us grow, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to bonus content. And if you want to join us live, you can go to twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast. Also, you can buy yourself some swanky swag by going to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. We'll see you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.